Now boarding for Rebuild of Joycast, your weekly destination for anime, manga, and more.
Welcome back, everybody, to our favorite new segment where everything Val says is right. 2 weeks ago, before we took our week off, we took the week off because all the mangaka took the time off after Akira's passing. Mm-hmm. And by take the time off for mourning, it's more like they took an opportunity to get a break before they all freaking died of stress-related injuries, because holy crap, things are looking dire. And this explains why Val might be correct, where Val made a mention 2 weeks ago when we were discussing My Hero Academia that, oh yeah, I could see My Hero Academia ending in 3 chapters. And I said, no way. No way. And then chapter 418 comes out this week. And oh boy. Well, I shouldn't say that fully, but this really looks like the end of Deku's fight with Shigaraki. And now this looks like it's going to turn into, oh, big surprise, everyone, All For One is back. Somewhere in the deep recesses of Shigaraki's consciousness, All For One lives again. And I am tired. I don't know what more can I complain about All For One? Like,
I mean, we kind of got over it at one point, didn't we?
We did, because he doubled down. He hard sold him on being an evil motherfucker. And
yeah,
that
so
was
we
awesome.
Knew. We
that
knew
was
this
awesome.
Was going to happen.
But no, but he had a great conclusion where he was a pathetic little baby and he just withered away and it was wonderful. And he's like, no, I need Deku and Shigaraki to team up at the end. And well, I haven't set up anyone else other than All For One, so here it is. If it wasn't for this perceived final battle, I would fully agree. Like, if Deku stops Shigaraki right here and we go back to consciousness, this series is over in 3 chapters. Because
yeah,
something about Akira Toriyama's death has definitely made a shift in Horikoshi, where Horikoshi is now like, you know what, it ain't worth it. We gotta get the hell out of here while we're still alive. But then you see stuff like this where he pulls out All For One, and it's like, now that's going to be at least another 6 chapters now. But besides that, I mean, this is still, like, I still trust the process. The last quarter of the series has been incredible, and I believe in it. And the fact that we kind of get the wrap on Shigaraki's whole characterization, like, we finally get to the true core of what Shigaraki was representing. And the fact that Tenko wanted to be a hero, and Shigaraki wanted to be a hero to the villains. And I think this functions. I think this is perfectly fine. I think without destroying the world, I think Shigaraki just about has succeeded in his mission. But there's still some lingering doubts. We get these scenes of these, I don't want to call them incels, but very incel-coded. Where they're like, do it, just destroy the entire world, wipe it out.
Is that what it was supposed to represent? I didn't get that was what it was supposed to represent. That it's
these,
like,
are,
just,
these are just random citizens who clearly are still wrapped in despair, who are like, damn it, come on, just get it over with. And it's like, it makes sense that these people existed. They were inside the fortress UA, even though they didn't really do anything. They were kind of set up as, oh, Shigaraki's got agents inside. It's like, nah, they're just a bunch of losers.
As you said it, it's like, no, it is like, there are bound, because it doesn't really go into it. There must be people, just regular people in the world who are like, yeah, do it, fucking destroy society.
Yeah, because there would be. This is pretty realistic, and
but I didn't think about that, because they never once really focused on them unless
they were
people who were directly
fucking involved.
It was
very brief. They were inside the fortress, and they were being set up like agents, like, ooh, we're here for the villains and we're gonna sow discord within the boundaries.
Well, I presume they literally were villains.
But they were,
like,
but they weren't. They were just random dudes that were shut down immediately because everyone was cooperating so well. Like, it was like kind of like, aww. Was this cut content? Like, you know?
They weren't just shit tier bitches who, like, got rocked immediately. Plus, we both know it's not getting
They never even popped off. They just, like, they were like, oh, we can't do anything here. These, like, this is when, Shibatsu, whatever the with Wind Guy and all of them, that school showed up to help. It Shinketsu, I think is what the, Shinketsu is what was the school was called. They show up, like it was like, ooh, it was like a turnaround, one of many turnarounds that we were getting tired of. Yeah, so it's nice to see that they're still there. They're not necessarily important, but it's like, just as a just kind of a reminder that no, this doesn't magically solve everything. But
no,
at the end of the day, this is burying the lead. All for One is back in the conscious. We're getting confirmations of what has been theorized years ago, that All for One has set up Shigaraki to be his heir, and we're seeing how far back it goes. And we're seeing a memory of Tenko's father, and he's talking to someone, and it's clearly being set up to be All for One. So to what degree now? What degree was this set up? There's almost an implication. The fact that he mentions the construction company, there's an implication that All for One has helped build this house. Like, almost as if All for One has, because he's so fucking evil, he has, like, constructed the environment by which he created his heir. It's so crazy. Well,
there's a fill. It's like the house that something built. It's the house,
the house that Jack built. The house that Jack built.
It's literally his the house that Jack built.
Yeah, it's insane. And it's like, we accept this now, but it's like, oh my gosh. We gotta wrap this up, man.
Like, this is how far it goes. He literally built the house that represents
he
all the Shigarakis.
He built it brick by freaking brick. That's how far this goes. And
next chapter, he's gonna have, like, whispering in his dad's ear, abuse your son, beat the shit out of him, break his dreams.
And there's almost an implication now that in this conversation that, like, he somehow, like, affected, like, Shigaraki's DNA before birth. Like, this is how far we're going right now, and this is cracked. This is like, he's not cooking, he's baking right now. Like, as my wife would say, cooking's to taste, baking's a science. We are approaching Shigaraki's origins now at a scientific level that is beyond dumb hoary logic. That's fun. This is now just This is becoming groan-worthy again.
It is all. Well, we both knew it was going to come back. I'm not groaning mostly because I'm like,
we're not surprised. We're just disappointed.
No. like you said, I'm telling the future. I am not surprised that All for One has done this. We knew it would come back to it eventually because we both know that there either has to be some kind of reason that Shigaraki can get away with anything. Like I don't know. My Hero Academia epilogue, Deku on fucking trial. Not on trial, but, like, you know, at the stand for Shigaraki. Yes,
I know you've said that Shigaraki will live on as an anti-hero, but I feel like Shigaraki is going to die proving a point 0 for 1 that he does control his destiny and is going to, like, save the world a lesson. We're going to get, like this version of 0 for 1 is somehow going to come out into the physical world, I believe. I generally believe there's going to be a giant 0 for 1. If not in the subconscious already, as is already implied, it's going to come out into the physical world. So that we get to see... So Shigaraki can redeem himself in the eyes of the public.
I kind of think as well that Shigaraki's assertion that he's, like, the hero of these villains is wrong, to be honest.
I think it's fine. I think it's fine. It only feels wrong because, again, we blame the editors that we never got enough time for him to cook in this regard. We never got enough of each specific problem these guys address. I think Dobby's the only one who really truly got it, if even then, thanks to Endeavor. Because
Dobby
Dobby
should not fucking be there. Dobby has never been.
Dobby's never,
like,
been a friend.
Dobby is literally using them. Dobby never gave up.
Dobby cannot
fuck.
Have his cake and eat it too, because I was recently rereading the chapter for research purposes of Dobby's addendum to his origin story where he wakes up in that facility and he tells All for One to go fuck himself, that you don't control my origin, even though it's implied that All for One resurrected him from the freaking, like, the brink of death to touch his origin. Dobby, in Horikoshi by proximity, by extension, you cannot have Dobby refuse All for One's origin and then be here for Shigaraki at the end. You clearly used him. You're not... It's a compliment to Dobby that you are not a part of this. That Dobby was like Redestro. He, in Overhaul, he was a whole other entity.
The only person that I actually think, like, you know, gives the character meaning is Spinner. Mr. Compress had his own agenda. Had his own agenda.
But here, Dobby sacrificed himself for his friends, though. Like, so not Dobby, Mr. Compress sacrificed himself during the war arc.
He does,
So he earns the right to be there as much as Twice does.
No, because Toga's the one that saves Twice.
No, Twice saves Toga.
No. I mean, Toga gives Twice, like, meaning, I think.
He
twice
gives
was
it,
more dedicated to like Toga.
Toga softens Twice's edge. Like what? Why is Twice driven? And it's like, here's a physical friend that he is here to protect.
Yeah, no, it's the bandage. The bandage that, like, you know, covered him because he's like, I'm splitting. It's that kindness that, like, that only Toga is really capable of giving as a member of the villains, because Toga is, that's why she's interesting. She is kind of the heart in that. She's still
and Toga definitely deserves to be
core.
Here, even though she never really has any, like, direct interaction with Shigaraki, which is so strange.
No,
she has the most interaction with the rest of the group, though. Like, she's like, she's almost like a lieutenant, except she hardly has ever answered to Shigaraki. It's so weird.
I'm taking like the minimalistic aspects of this that we do get in villain interactions of the League, and I am definitely like inflating them with what there is. But there is that moment where Shigaraki kind of looks at Toga, and it's like that serene look, and he's like calm and composed, and that's the moment where Toga's like, oh shit, I can follow this guy.
Yeah.
Because he's like, please, just like listen to me. And she's like, yeah, okay then. And that's, but Toga is the only one who is actually, while being a villain and in her own way extremely sadistic, she is the only one really capable, I would say, except for Twice, of being compassionate, which Twice then returns. That's, in my opinion, what saves Twice, or what makes him like a kind of a good person at the very end of everything. It's what's the most tragic thing, because Hawks kills him, but it's like Toga gave him the, you ever heard that song where it's like, you know, just, you ever heard like, you do something good and someone passes it along and everything, yeah? It's the, that kind of thing. Toga passes the baton to Twice to do something selfless and kind and everything. Shigaraki doesn't do that for anyone. He gives them meaning in nihilism and destruction, but
he
I
gave
also
a
think
focal
that's
point because these guys were chaotic again. Like he even though like he struggled with this in the early days, like he became like the thing for them to orbit around.
He's a focal point.
He,
yeah,
he gave them direction at the end of the day,
and you could say
like again, like Horikoshi uses this imagery, the flap of a butterfly's wings, just a pulse of someone's presence causes a chain reaction, and you could honestly say that Shigaraki, although I would argue more Stain for a lot of these guys, that Shigaraki is giving these guys direction, and for them, for their best moments, Toga sacrificing for Ochako at the end, even though she's the one that stabbed Ochako, but you know, is it Toga helping Twice? Twice helping Toga and Mr. Compress return? All these guys have helped each other, except for Dobby. At the end of the day, again, Dobby just does not belong here.
No.
But everyone else does.
I would say that Shigaraki, at the end of the day, isn't their hero. I'd say he is like, he's that focal point. He is that one that gave them meaning to become stronger, to like, you know, grow.
Yeah.
And obviously that is more reflected within
and it might
the
not be a literal hero, but it can fit the definitions of a hero.
Yeah, maybe.
He's an inspiration of some sort.
I feel like the League, at the end of the day, though, like, while Shigaraki is the focal point, I think they supported each other more than Shigaraki ever really did. And I'm still waiting on, and I don't think it's over, but because we still gotta get Shirakumo and Eraserhead and wherever the hell they went, unless we just get a whole thing where
that's gonna be the very last thing. Like, Deku's fight's gonna be concluded, and then this is gonna be our Spider-Man 3 finale with Mike and Eraserhead crying over Shirakumo's corpse.
Yeah, maybe.
They're the only bodies we have not scraped off pavement yet. They're the only ones.
By the way. Is this a callback to Star Wars, the more recent Star Wars? Because, you know,
what, somehow Palpatine's still alive? No.
Somehow Palpatine? No. It's somehow Palpatine's still alive, yes. But, you know, All For One's head appears, swallow Shigaraki, you know, you foolish vessel. To this day, you've never made a single decision on your own. And it's like the bit in Kylo Ren where it's like, since the day you were born.
That's not a Star Wars reference. That's a reference to the fact that...
No. It sounds like it, though, because there's a bit where Palpatine's like, I'm the voice that's been in your head your entire life, and it switches to, like, every...
Because these are stories of autonomy. This is a key to the simplicity of Star Wars and My Hero Academia, that their stories can be very similar because they echo the same beats.
Yeah.
But no, there's no reference. Among many references, this is not one of them.
It feels like one. It feels like a nod to it. The same thing as, like, I still can't remember the direct reference, but it is just like Palpatine's voice shifting to like Darth Vader's, to Snoke's or whatever his name was. Yeah, it is Snoke. And stuff like that. And it's the same thing to this day. You've never made a single decision on your own. And again, I don't like this because it's one of those things that just,
it's literally
even
me
more
talking
so,
to Horikoshi.
As it's been going, takes away the responsibility.
This is Horikoshi's editor speaking to him. This is him venting out his frustrations, besides the one that he has now, but the one he had for the first three quarters of this series.
And now the question is, like, is this battle going to remain, like, an inside thing? Or, and I highly doubt it, I don't want it to, because, like you said, I also want it to finish off and everything soon-ish. I don't want Horikoshi to overwork himself or anything. But I'm worried that this will now turn into, it's no longer Fingy Wingies or anything like that. It's something else that represents...
That's all bald heads.
Yeah, it's just a...
For me, I'm very torn because I do try. Ever since the Mutant Rebellion arc, mini arc, I trust this. I trust this process now. He's got a good rhythm, got a good editor on his side. I trust, even though I'm going to bitch and moan about All for One being back, I trust this. I'm just like, I'm torn. I'm very concerned for his health. I'm very concerned about him diluting the ending of the series. But at the same time, I'm not going to lie and pretend like I'm not going to freaking miss this. I am very much worried about a world without My Hero Academia being actively around, because the threat is so there now.
I mean, this is just what everyone felt.
It's a big part of my life, man.
I mean, plus it's hit 10 years now. My Hero Academia has been around for 10 years, I think, almost.
Yeah, so that's the only thing we're missing from what, because we read the fan scanlations on a Friday. If not this week. It's next week. We're supposed to get a popularity poll.
July 7th, 2014, My Hero Academia was first released.
So that is 10. I think he ends before that. I mean, at the rate, if he has to go on another freaking break, yeah, it's gonna be July. But
going to go on another break. He will.
But I think he's a 10. If it wasn't for all the unplanned hiatuses because of his health, I feel like he would be ready for what I believe he's trying. I think he's trying to pull an Oda, and he's trying to plan around real-world events. I think he wants My Hero Academia to end when the sakuras bloom. Like, the cherry blossoms. I think that's where he... In Japan. Like, literally the springtime. He's trying to end the series. He's literally teased this since the very first chapter, since that moment where we see Shigaraki's, like, withered corpse in front of a cherry blossom tree, like, 6 months ago. He's trying to plan for a real-world event, but it's really difficult to do when his health is failing him, and there's all these unplanned hiatuses. It's like, what's going on? He's trying to play a game, and it's at his detriment. It's the detriment of the pacing of his series. It's the detriment of his health, and I wish he would just get it done, man. Just get it done right.
I just went down on the fan scanlation and everything, and I've gone back to the first volume. And I like this. It's when he collected into the first volume of My Hero Academia, and it's his little icon, you know, the hands, and it says, "It's starting. This is my third series to be collected into graphic novels. Forgive me if this sounds reckless, but the thing I prioritize most when drawing manga is creating something that I can enjoy. This one might not remain popular, but for now, I'll just be happy if everyone finds it as fun as I do." I don't know, I think that's nice. It's like, It's nice
because this poor man, I've discussed that before, where he was on his third... To people, there's a wives' tale or a myth that at Shonen Jump, you get a three-strike system. Yeah. And My Hero Academia would have been Horikoshi's third strike. Like, he had two series that were prematurely ended. They were axed on Jump. Mm. And there's that prevailing theory that the reason why he had the relationship he did with his first set of editors was the fact that he was in no position to argue, because he had three series that failed. Whatever they decide works, he had to go with. And that's why we have these complaints about how the series kind of got away from him. You talk about that, where he wanted to make a series that he had fun with. And I hope he was true to that to the very end, but based on the things I've heard, I don't believe that was true until maybe, again, when he switched editors and he was allowed to cook again.
Well, say this, Ivan. When you say that, I'm praying to God for Gen Osuga or Usuga.
Golem
Hearts
come back.
Doron Dororon.
It's overdue. Wouldn't it be so cool if after this series wraps, he's the one who takes Horikoshi's place and he gets his third?
It is too early, I think, for him. It is too early for him.
Doron's been gone for a while.
Oh God, it came out in 2021.
It's been a while. He can come back right now.
Damn. Well, I don't know. I feel like he needs to like really think about the concept, I think, and the story in general, because like you said, the issue was like the art was there.
He just needs that winning idea that just grips the audience, because we thought we had it with Golem Hearts, but
yeah,
he had a good concept.
That was a fun one where we just went, oh, let's look at canceled manga.
Yeah, let's look back at someone's past and kind of dig about how they became what they became. And that's why you look at Doron Doron. It's like Doron Doron is like, he got an editor who was like, yeah, just do Jujutsu Kaisen right now.
Yeah.
Please don't.
It's not even. It felt more like an amalgamation, because I don't know what it is.
It was an amalgamation of literally everything that was out at the time, and that's why it was a problem. Amongst other things, like writing paragraphs instead of drawing panels.
I get major like Oda inspiration from him, or even like Golem Hearts. Not reminding me of One Piece. It reminded me of Fairy Tail, actually.
In many ways, yeah.
Like we don't talk about Fairy Tail much. I used to like Fairy Tail.
I never read it.
I watched it for a bit, but then I got like 60 episodes in, and I just went, oh, this is the same shit every week, basically.
And that apparently that's been very true of his stories. Like, I read probably half of Eden Zero.
Yeah. I heard Eden Zero is actually really good.
I enjoyed it. It was one of those things where I had to drop it because it's like, all right, I only have so much in my shelf I can read in a weekly or even monthly basis. And at the time where they started doing an oil massage on the female characters, I was like, oh, yeah, like this might be good, but half the time it's just baby's first porno, and I don't got time for that.
Yeah,
I gotta go.
He loves his softcore porn.
He loves softcore fan service, and like all power to him.
I like fan service, but you know, I like dribs and drabs of it. Like, I'm like, ah, oh, yeah, there's a little bit of titty there. That's all right. That's cool. But when it's like just in your face all the time,
yeah, like, and that's makes an example it where awkward. It was in your face.
It's when it's awkward to watch with friends, or when like I don't know, like your friend walks in, it's like
when you got the goon sesh going on, yeah.
When you're like, I'm just watching my anime, like I be doing, and my friend comes in, and they'd be like, hey, Val, how's it going? What the fuck are you watching? It's Fairy Tail. It's not hentai. I fucking swear. And then it makes it hard. It makes it hard to watch. It makes it embarrassing to watch.
Yes. Like,
to some degree.
And like, anime has evolved. Manga has evolved to a point now where, at the very least, not everything is freaking embarrassing.
Yeah.
Not that everything before was embarrassing either. It's just like now there's, it's generally more respectable now.
Boobies and butts are nice, and you know what? If Hiromashima wants to keep on drawing boobies and butts, good for him.
Yeah, he's established. He's currently working on something rock. Devil Rock or something? Metal Rock? I don't know.
Metal Rock?
Death Rock. He's already on his next series. Like, the man never sleeps. He's an Oda type, but instead of, like, doing one series forever, he just goes series to series, and they just let him work.
Hiromashima is interesting because he, all of his stuff, like, he just writes the same characters again as well. Like, not the same characters, but he, like, reuses. He has, like,
He's a star system. He's a star system. That's what I remarked, too, about Dead Rock is his new series. Yeah, Eden Zero, because, again, I've never watched Fairy Tail, but when I was reading Eden Zero, there's a cat named Happy. And I'm like, I've seen that cat before. And
yeah,
that's when
and
I
Fairy
learned
Tail.
That he was the writer of Fairy Tail. Because I'm like, I've seen that cat.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl, that's, too, is like, oh, yeah, that's just the same girl. And that's fine. That's totally fine. I'm also a proponent of the star system. I think that's perfectly fine. It's just the
Hell,
fact
they
that
even
when
have, in Eden Zero, he has, like, a little snowman thing with like, oh
yes,
yeah, yeah, yeah. That was, that has been in all three of his series. That is like his favorite.
That's his like mascot character. Honestly,
that is his mascot character.
Because that was like in his very first series.
Yeah, Rave Master, which is another series that I don't know if Dead Rock has anything to do with music, but like Rave Master was a series that was about like musical genres and powers.
I have
and
no
stuff.
Clue what Dead Rock is about. Every time I look at a synopsis, it's just like, it's the most general, like, the demon exams. What the fuck does that mean? But hey, if it works, Hero's just selling his name and his designs. We've said that before, and you know, all power to him.
Yeah, no, I respect the shit out of that dude. He's in that same space as like Akira Toriyama, but
yeah,
he's
got it figured out. He's got his shtick figured out.
Mm-hmm. He just unequivocally loves what.
He's on cruise control. He loves what he does.
I'm looking at Dead Rock right now, and this immediately. This is like I'm looking at it. I'm not reading it. I'm looking at the character. I'm looking at his design.
Yeah, don't read it.
Does he have like shadow power or something like that? This motherfucker just looks like Ral from Ral Grad, which is a series that was penned by the dude that drew Death Note. It ran for 4 volumes. I picked that series up in like 2012 or 13 when I first decided, fuck it, I'm going to collect manga.
Okay, I'm looking through the series now. I'm not reading it. I'm just looking at it, and I haven't seen a single titty yet. I'm very disappointed. Oh, never mind. There's feet. There's feet. He's got feet. Ladies and gentlemen, we got
You were looking for titties. Now you're like, oh, no, there's feet. That counts.
We found feet. If feet counts, you know they're into it.
You know what? Let's look at the new One Piece chapter, because, you know, I think, avert your eyes, Ivan, because Luffy's got them fucking
grippers.
Yeah, careful.
I might get hooked on this series.
Right on display, and he's eating fries.
Piece 1111.
We have this really
This was
nice...
last week before Oda went on his 3-week hiatus. All power to you, champ.
And we've got a really nice color spread of like all the Straw Hats and Vegapunk. You're fucking dead now, bitch. You can't eat French fries. And even Kuma's getting in on some French fry action.
I had lunch like an hour ago and I'm already hungry again. What the hell?
You're working hard, man. It gives you an appetite. So, 1111, the Sun's Shield. We open up with the Labostratum Shield being assaulted by the, I can't remember all of the goddamn Gorosei's names, but
I didn't care to commit them to memory. They're all one unit.
I want
to
say
all know at the end
Mercury.
Of the day, they're all just controlled by Ainu.
I want to say it's Mercury or something who is the giant bird, as Jinbei
is
basically...
planets. It should be easy, shouldn't it? Damn.
It should
now
be.
Now you just look like a moron.
Yeah, it should be. Damn. All I know is that it's like, I only remember Jupiter.
Jupiter.
I remember Jupiter, who is the fucking dune sandworm, and
hell yeah.
Yeah, which is
I like how they're all after this like Hindu mythology, and like, oh yeah, and then there's the dune sandworm. It's like, hell yeah, why not?
Jinbei comes in as it seems as though Zoro has defeated, or at least gravely wounded Lucci. But he's just, like, back up and ready for more because... And Jinbei pulls him away because Zoro can't lose. Ever since Zoro made the promise that he won't lose, he has never actually been able to lose or anything. Which,
man of his word.
I can't do this every goddamn One Piece. I can't rag on Zoro every single time, but I'll find a fucking way. God damn it. I want to love him.
I always love making fun of him.
I want to love him as much as I used to. He was one of my favorites.
Yeah,
at one
pre-Time Skip Zoro was so awesome, and now
he's
not.
He is, but he's just... I will be so grateful when we get the smackering of, like, Zoro development that he fucking deserves. So anyway, we have a very rare... Actually, Lucci might be scarred. I don't know if Oda will keep this up, but... Zoro really fucked him up, and the bird comes in, it's like, Rob Lucci, where's York? And the Labostratum's gonna, like, drop the message, and these guys are, like, worried that, you know, it's gonna be revealed that the 5 Gorosei were on Epstein Island. They gotta stop it. And Lucci takes this moment to make a request. And he's like, look, my friend, my colleague is up in there and he's really hurt. Can you save him? Can you spare him, please? And this dude is just like, it's hard to single out a lone insect when you're exterminating a hive. Further cementing how evil these guys are.
You thought, Lucci, and you thought you got special treatment because you worked for the government? This is the moment that radicalizes.
Oh no, I think he knows. He knows because he is like just been dogged a bit. He's fucked up, and you know his boss.
I got dragged by Luffy and Zoro. What's the point?
And you know,
please, Mr. Government, please spare my friends.
It is actually very clear, I think, with Lucci's face and the way he is, that like he knows this is kind of a foolhardy request of him, and he might just have to hope and pray that Kaku can get the fuck out of Dodge. And then we cut back to Luffy.
Kaku's funny looking. He's not gonna die.
And then we cut back to Luffy, who is in Nika form, and for the first time in over 2 years and 20 fucking years for us, he has reunited with Dory and Broggy. And they're immediately like, dude, why do you look like that now? They just think he's like gotten a haircut, dyed it.
Why do you look like God? Why do you look like God now? Why are you so special?
He's all like, why are you rocking this look now? And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, don't you know, man, in my culture, you look like the god of liberation, like the coolest dude ever. Why are you looking like that? He's like, I don't fucking know.
Stop that. They're going to think you're the freaking Messiah here.
I don't get it. Tell me about it later. As, you know, we get the rundown, Luffy, we get that goddamn iconic One Piece map of the area that they're in with the little icons and telling us where they are, where they need to go, all that jazz, how everyone needs to get there. And Dory and Broggy are like, whatever, man, we got your back. As the giant boar, I want to say that's Mars, and then it's
Saturn's the scorpion. We know that for sure.
Yeah, the giant spider bull face guy, I forget what it is. As they make their assault, doing a big old hockey roar, I guess.
Oh, and they did confirm that they're immortal, because we were wondering when they sliced the worm in half. Yeah, they cut them up and they come back.
Yeah, exactly. And we get this really great bit where like Broggy or Dory, honestly, I actually can't remember which one is which. Sometimes I need the name panels for them. As the roar literally sends Luffy's eyes, his scar, his sandals, and a bunch of things just like flying off of him, and then he just sticks them back on himself like they're bloody decals or something, which is pretty funny. I know this bit has made people be like, you know, how fucking strong is Luffy? Is Luffy
like? Who cares
like,
how strong he is? He's funny now.
He's funny now. That's just it.
He's Popeye now. What more do you need?
His wackiness has reached new heights, people. And we get Dory and Broggy protect Luffy from the giant boar. And Luffy does a big ol' fucking... Oh, wait, no, that's Dory and Broggy. Dory and Broggy do a big ol' goddamn punch. Split Skylder, whatever the hell they call it. And send him flying. And Luffy literally picks up a tree, bites it like corn on the cob, shaping it into a bat after painting it. Make it, like, aluminum.
Again, we talked about Oda when he tries to, like, line up with real-world events. Apparently, there's a One Piece marketing campaign going on in the Japanese, like, baseball league. So, like, that's why this happened.
Oh, that, like, what's number 56? Is that, like, a specific player or something?
It might be. I don't know. I don't watch Japanese baseball. I should. It's a lot more fun than American baseball, but...
Is it actually, or is that just your assumption?
It's my assumption when the CEOs, when the managers of the teams fly in a giant rocket jet ski onto the field.
That's cool.
And they have swords and shit and players make out on the field. Like, yeah, I think Japanese baseball is a lot more fun than the MLB.
Luffy literally swings
this
bat,
knock it back.
Whereas
when Japanese baseball players come to the US, they turn into gambling addicts because our sports betting systems and market is a freaking disaster.
Isn't that just human nature to gamble and stuff, or whatever the hell's...
Well, it's the fact that it is freaking rampant. It is, like, embedded into our sports system now. Like, right now, there's a gambling problem going on in all across sports. So the United States and all the sports leagues have now called in all the gambling sites to have a meeting about how they're going to fix this. What the fuck? What do you mean? It's like, have you ever seen the Tim Robinson sketch where he's in the hot dog suit? He's like, we gotta find the guy who's doing this. It's that. It's that times seven right now. It's crazy.
That is crazy. Luffy literally knocks back poison balls, which explode, and then basically it comes down to Dory and Broggy, watch out, they're literally immortal. Oh, we should get the fuck out of here. And the chapter basically ends with the giant robot that they found chapters upon chapters ago, and like basically the start of Egghead.
Yeah, cool to see that involved in play now.
It is. I know the theory is that Kuma's conscious. I think you mentioned something that Kuma... Someone mentioned it to me. The theory is that Kuma's consciousness was actually transferred to the robot and not actually dead.
It wasn't my theory, but that's my first time hearing it, and that sounds pretty cool.
That sounds interesting. It explains, like, the whole thing where it's like, I don't know, like, if it had a purpose before or something. I don't know what Vegapunk's done. He might have like another like
we
little
failsafe. It's from
like,
it's confirmed it's from the Void Century.
Yeah, but it's like we might get
some intel about that here. Again, we're still waiting on this big announcement.
Yeah, I mean we got 2 weeks to kill before that happens. It's gonna be interesting. Like One Piece is getting that build up. Something even greater is gonna happen. Like this, we have been eating. We have been eating. I was so excited when this chapter was coming out. Oh, you know, I was just ready to read it. Good shit. It was good shit. And that is chapter 1111. So enjoy your break while you can, Oda, because I am ready for greatness.
Yep, every break he brings it. He just brings it. So, you go on.
I was gonna say, is there anything else on the docket that we need to talk about? Because like we no longer have a triumphant. Like
we don't have a triumphant, and we don't need it. We really don't need but we will say Chainsaw Man has been doing a lot better, but it's still not worth talking on a weekly basis. And we're
it is. I don't think it is. Nothing's happening really.
It's fun, but nothing's happening.
They're in a hole. They're in a hole. Katana Man's back. I love Katana Man. I'm literally
friends being funny. It's being funny, but again, don't give it too much time. Because we say we don't talk about it, and then we talk about it, so just don't drop it.
We have to be
men of our word, okay?
Yeah.
Otherwise,
you're right.
Honestly, I feel like this is gonna be a quick week for us, Val. I think while Oda's on break and you know things are trying to wrap up, I think we have some short episodes ahead of us, because while the others are taking breaks, our asses are busy.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, tongue-tied. You may have noticed, but, like, the podcast is kind of on and off on weeks and everything. We get busy.
We're just busy, and that's what we could discuss at the end here, because I think, was it 2 weeks ago, or even before then, we left people on that cliffhanger that we said that we're ending the podcast. Sorry to spook you guys. It's not ending anytime soon. It's ending at episode 100.
Yeah. We literally have committed to this and just...
We are committed to ending at episode 100.
Yeah. It's just... It feels good. Like, even if My Hero Academia doesn't ends by then or something, it's like, yeah, it's going to be episode 100.
Yeah, it's episode 100. We feel like that within that time span, My Hero Academia will absolutely be done. Because we're not going to be... We know that we can't do this week by week. So... It's like, oh no, episode 100 is like less than 15 away. It's like, yeah, but that's not 15 weeks. That could be to the end of the year because of the breaks that we take too. But ultimately, what goes down to that decision is just purely, you're tired of it, I'm tired of it, dear listener. We're tired of me reacting to anime and manga because it's so sensationalized and overtly negative, because that's how you get a conversation started, how it goes. And I'm getting tired of it because like we said the podcast is ending, but it's not going to be the end of podcasts on Joy, right? I'm behind the scenes. I'm talking with the main heads. We're trying to develop some new shows that I think are going to be a lot more fantastic. And based on one in particular we're developing, it's definitely reigniting my love, like engaging with the medium in a way that isn't reactionary. It's more like actually putting my past knowledge to use. My like looking back on older series or across the medium in a fun way that isn't just reacting to it. It's playing with what's already there. It requires more thought than just my gut reaction.
Hey,
and
Ivan.
So, and that's just with the this podcast that we do, because we've premised this podcast on weekly reactions, and for some people can do this forever, but you and I, we just can't. We can't react forever.
No,
we just cannot. We're not built like that.
There is only so much we can say on week to week basis about certain things, like.
And like, My Hero Ending is just the right timing for it. Yeah. It's like that's the main thing we like to react to, and that goes away. What are we going to find else to react to? We're tired of Chainsaw Man. We love One Piece.
I recently rewatched the anime of Chainsaw Man, and I was like, man, part two really doesn't hit the same. It just doesn't.
It doesn't, because again, I've discussed this like during Anime Watch Clubs, 8 p.m. Eastern and Saturday nights, everyone. I've talked about that at this point, it is really within Fujimoto's best interest to just like wrap this series and take a break and let things die down, because I generally think that we are beyond the fact of him. Oh, he warned us this wouldn't be as good. We're beyond, this isn't just not as good as Chainsaw Man Part 1. This is like threatening to invalidate it. This is him like undoing his career. He needs to take a break and go back to doing one-shots for a little bit. I understand that one-shots are probably not as lucrative, and I know the medium and the way that these guys make a living is really screwed up, and it's completely unfair, but I generally think that he is poisoning the well that was his career with this. This is a nightmare. Weekly is not serving him well. We have been teased. We have been confirmed.
I think he should move to monthly or something.
Monthly at minimum, but I think he needs to go away for a while, because he is a very talented guy, but this pace that Shueisha has put him on is not good. He is really undoing his goodwill, and it's not fair to him. More than anyone, screw us, the audience, the whiny, sensationalized, reacting audience. It's for his sake. It's so unfair to him that he has to rush these out, that he only has enough time to draw the characters, and then his assistants do everything else, and they're freaking photoshopping in photorealistic guns into scenes, and it's like, oh, this sucks. This is very unfortunate.
Yeah. I mean, I've been... I was, like, so shocked rewatching Chainsaw Man Part 1, because, like, literally, in reading Part 2, for the last year and a half that it's been around, 2 years... Feels like it's been around for a while now, Part 2, right?
Summer of 2021 or 2022?
Something like that? I don't know, but I literally, to some degree, forgot how much I liked Chainsaw Man Part 1. Like, I knew it was better, but I went back, rewatched the anime, you know, I could read the manga again, but I feel like it wouldn't be fair.
Yeah, summer of 2022, it was airing again.
It probably wouldn't be fair either, though, just because of the fact that, like, it's all there, but when I was reading Chainsaw Man week to week for the, 60 plus chapters or something that he made of Chainsaw Man, like, when did Part 1 end? It was like in the 90s or something, or 70s?
Oh yeah, like it was like 98.
Yeah. For the 98 chapters.
94, 96, yeah, it was in the 90s for sure.
Yeah, I'm looking, 90, it looks like it's 95, you know? Yeah, it looks like 95 or 96. Yeah. For those 90 plus chapters that he made week to week, I do not remember feeling like I want to drop it, or I'm fucking bored, or like it was slacking.
It was very, Part 1 was very compelling week to week.
Yeah, like some people try to say like...
I was very fortunate, like, and I say that, I should call my BS on myself. I didn't read it week to week. I read it in volumes.
Yeah.
So I didn't have it week to week, but if I look at chapter to chapter, I can see how weekly it would be, it would maintain its a compulsion. Like, it remains compelling week to week.
Mm-hmm.
I can see how that'd be possible. And you can confirm that's true.
I never remember feeling that way like I do with Part 2. Like, I've been saying to my friend, like, everyone I talk to about it, I have friends who
are
like...
And you were very early on the draw, too, that you had a lot of issues. I was having fun with Asa, and even now, Asa's still fun, But this is still just, it's so noticeably empty. Relatively empty to part one.
I think people are coping because I even looked at it the other day after rewatching Chainsaw Man, and I was like, what are people's thoughts on Chainsaw Man Part 2? Because I don't look at what everyone else
I cannot engage with the Chainsaw Man fan base.
What I
get for them is pure reaction, meme reaction. To me, the Chainsaw Man audience is meme reaction. Something silly happens each week, and they pop off, and then they disappear. You've had a different experience with that, where they're spoiling you. Because they can't shut up.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't had that issue since, because honestly...
Because you don't care anymore, that's why.
No. It's just that I would be like on Twitter, chilling, minding my own business, and week to week, Chainsaw Man... And people would be talking about it. It would be like, you know, the hottest thing. It'd be, what do they call it? The hot topic on Twitter, trending. And that's how I came across that, because shit's trending. People are talking about it. But I notice now people have dropped off. I just don't think they talk about it as much anymore, because it's not as iconic. It's not as funny. The last really fucking funny thing that happened was probably... Yeah, the thing that pissed me off, where it was like a Chainsaw Man and Asa on the bike, and it's like, who'd like you? No one would like you. He's like, oh, what the fuck? Or something like that. That was like the last time I saw a trend and people managed to spoil it for me. I didn't go in the fucking advanced settings and be like, blockable topics, Chainsaw Man or anything like that. No, people have just stopped for some reason. But the people that are still reading it, I swear to God, you're coping. You're saying to me, nah, it's just been building up. And I'm like, oh, it's been building up since the fucking Falling Devil? Yeah. Fuck you. No, it isn't. It's just not as good anymore.
Hey, I got something to talk about before we go. I got a topical topic.
Go on.
We've never read this, or maybe you'll surprise me now, but the mangaka, creator of Rent-A-Girlfriend, has confirmed to be using AI, in the development of his series.
This
current series, Rent-A-Girlfriend, which, okay. I've never read it, I know it's like, guilty, it's someone's guilty pleasure, and it's garbage.
Yes.
But apparently this guy, and the reason why I bring it up is because... This is so strange. This is a very weird position to put us in, where we discuss how we have issues with AI, but at the same time, we have issues with mangaka overworking themselves. And it's like, where... And we know that mangaka are credited, but we never hardly ever get to see... I mean, usually in volumes we get to see it, but usually mangaka unsung assistants. They always have assistants that are also working themselves to the bone. And it's like, where do we draw the line with AI being something that... It's like, it makes their job... It could make their job easier in some regards. But at the same time, it's like... It's not going to change their schedule. Like companies like Shueisha will abuse this. Oh, now you can just use AI. And we're still not going to give you any more time to breathe. Like, it's this weird argument that's going to come up, that he's using AI now. And it's like, oh, that could you know, make his life a lot easier. It's like, does it really?
I don't like it. I don't like AI. I really don't.
But there are plenty
of logical arguments that could, like, about how it can make people's life easier. For some people... I myself am someone who aspires to, like, make a comic, make a story and everything like that.
Imagine AI inked and toned for him. Like, would we have a problem with that? Or are there people who are really super into ink and toning, and that's a whole art form in of itself? Like, there's only so much about this medium we can pretend to understand.
No matter what, there are going to be people who lose jobs. I've said this several times. This is basically the entertainment industry's industrial revolution.
Yeah.
That's what this is, essentially. I
just want to stick with this particular story, because in his case, he's straight up having it, like, draw characters. He's confirmed. Like, he went on Twitter and, hey guys, look what I'm doing. And someone, I think it was Mother's Basement, had a hilarious reaction where they said he unlocked a new level. He reclaimed a new level of virginity while doing this. I thought that was really fucking funny.
You used to listen to Mother's Basement?
I don't listen. It's just the fact that I have that generalized Twitter feed where it's just going to show me things that are relevant. That's the only reason I found out about this. Where it was through him. Where he's like, look what this fucking virgin motherfucker did this time.
Honestly, this
also,
AI.
I don't think... I'm not a fan of Mother's Basement, but I don't think the guy's a problem.
Nah. I remember thinking, like, what was it? The most egregious thing I ever thought was... That stupid video about, like, you should skip parts or do this different fucking... thing of how
your,
you should
here's the thing
that
your problem's not with Mother's Basement, your problem is with YouTube, where titles and topics have to be catchy, else you're
no,
like
I don't, I don't
and
have
you
a
have to
problem.
Eat cardboard the rest of your life because you refuse to like do the dumbest shit and don't pretend and people pretend like they enjoy that. Again, we don't have enough time, we're wrapping up, but again, part of the reason why the podcast is going away too is like I have research time and I have to like find ways to keep the channel like I had to find this balance of keeping the channel relevant, engaging, and also still at the end of the day have its soul, that I'm still enjoying it. And my God, like, again, we do parodies, and we don't have all day to discuss this, but like, I like to be these ambitious, overly fucking story-heavied fucking fiction, fan fictions here.
And where's like, Connie Quest?
What's that?
Where's Connie Quest?
Connie Quest is in development hell in favor of Paramedic because Connie Quest was pitched to something with a much more experience than me, and they went, no, that cannot be your first. That can't be your first story.
Where's no Paramedic?
Way. Paramedic is with the artist. The artist is running slow because we only have so much money to give to the artist to Patreon. And I don't want to go, oh, boo-hoo, give us more money. Like, no, it is what it is. I understand that this is what I have to work with. This is only how much money I can give. At a time, and I can only pay for so much of our artist's time. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it is. And said artist, because we only pay for so much of the time, they get their money from other contracts that take up their time. And I cannot speak on that. Those are companies unrelated to Joyride, and I cannot speak on that.
Yeah.
But it is the fact that we only can pay for so much of our artist's divided time. But it's getting done. I meet with them weekly. We are moving along. It's getting done. It's just not. This is the first manga. I've learned so much. I've learned so much about the medium, about the process, and I feel like this first chapter take forever. But I understand that what I've learned now, I know how to approach the next phase much quicker and more efficiently now. It's just the fact that I cannot move forward that way until the first chapter is done because I like to get things done and then I like to put it out there and let you guys. Get the audience's the feedback. I operate so heavily on feedback. I depend on it. And I can't move forward and go around this until that part of the process is done and that part of the process
is done. Like a real mangaka.
Until the art isn't done. I do things differently because I have that time. I have that privilege as a self-employed YouTuber who eats cardboard because he refuses to do clickbaity titles and call each of our anime parodies. We fixed this anime. We revoiced this anime. And because that's how I've been told that's how we would fix our place in the algorithm. It's just like YouTube is just YouTube is a platform for clickbait now. It's just a platform for clickbait.
It's funny you say that. I'm actually working more on a video that's more about informing people of how they themselves can practice things like ADR and stuff like that. And just being like, it's actually going to come out, like, this weekend.
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
So by the time this episode's out, that will be out on your YouTube channel, Valentine Stokes?
Yeah.
Beautiful Valentine?
Yeah, it's Beautiful Valentine, but I accidentally changed the name to just my name at some point now, but it still comes up if you type in Beautiful Valentine, yeah. Valentine Stokes, Beautiful Valentine. Yeah, that should be coming out this weekend. It's just a bit on Howl's Moving Castle that I meant to do with you, but then I realized that I was thinking of a different scene. Because I was like, Ivan, do you want to voice Calcifer? Because you'd make a good Calcifer. But then it turns out he only says something at the very fucking end, and I was like, I'm not going to waste his time with that. And it's way past it's way past the point. I will get you for something else. Because the idea is that
I am pretty Billy Crystal pilled, huh?
Yeah.
but I just want to say, it's like part of the reason why Joycast is going away again. It's been a reactionariness. It's about we going back to the drawing board with the podcasts and other shows, and trying to find a way to do content that's engaging while remaining relevant. We at Joyride. I've always been very transparent about how things go there, and we are in a comfort zone. We're still low end comfort, but we are struggling with relevancy. It leaves us because
an issue that
anime,
everyone on YouTube
because the way
right
that
now.
We're doing parodies right now with anime just doesn't have any given anime today does not have a very long shelf life. I learned this with Dr. Stone Abridged, and I'm not making that same mistake again of sticking with something for too long to our detriment, because things just have an expiration. They have a quicker expiration date now. That's Abridging as a medium, if it's even a medium anymore. It's like a dying freaking breed, because there's just not enough people around to keep it. It's on very few people's shoulders now. And so we're trying to find a way to kind of diversify our portfolio, and to do that, we need the time that Joycast takes from us to hit the drawing board and try. And I genuinely believe those are hardcore fan base who's listening to this right now, who absolutely loves this show. This isn't the end of us. This isn't the end of us, of Joyride engaging with you like this.
And certainly not of Ivan and Val being best buds.
Of our relationship, yeah. Because you know those theories will come out, like, oh, they just not like each other anymore? Oh, no. When this series is over, me and Val are going to go back to having tea time together. That's what we did before this podcast. We would have tea parties together over Discord, and that will come back. And I'm excited for that.
I mean, if our relationship wasn't Taz, it'd be a bit awkward that I'm going to your wedding.
Right? Oh, gosh. But it's just like, we're trying to discover new, and I say, like, oh man, I'm discovering ways to be relevant, and I'm following. It's not just that, in a way that I'm having fun, that I'm keeping my soul intact, because one of the things that we are planning right now is super fun, and it's still very early stages, but if it works out the way we're planning, I think people are going to be very happy. I think everyone who's listening to this series is going to have a lot of fun with what comes from, not the ashes. This isn't a kill, this isn't a cancellation, this is a amicable agreement that it's time to evolve, is what's going to happen here. So, and again, that's still a long ways away, because we still got, this is episode 86, so we've got 14 more episodes over the span of, I'm gonna say, the rest of the year. So, yeah. Don't sweat this, guys. This is not me hanging my head in shame. Joycast was a success. Joycast was a stepping stone to some greater things.
It was a success because it was just our excuse to talk about shit and monetize it to some degree.
Yeah, and that's the only thing we didn't succeed in. If there was money in this, we definitely would have stayed. And there just wasn't. But a testament to how fun it was. The fact that in 86 episodes, we never saw a dime. And we're still this far having fun.
Yeah. I love coming in and, like, chatting with Ivan about stuff, you know? Like, me and Ivan are always going to be fucking good
pals. The show was built on our love of just talking to each other, and we needed an excuse because we were so busy. Like, hey, this could be a bolster for both our careers if we just recorded our conversations.
I gotta say, like, we've known each other now for almost 10... We've known each other for, like, 8 years now, almost.
We've known each other for as long as Joyride's been around. We're going to year 9 of Joyride, so I'd say a little bit longer than that. So, yeah, I'd say a good decade now.
Yeah. Plus, it's year 10 for me for voice acting as of August, which is insane.
It's like, crazy. And again, another reason why we're trying to evolve things, I'm like, it's 10 years. We really need to try some new things. I need to get some fucking mud in my face again. I need to fall firmly in the... And not in parodies, because I can do that any day with parodies. I need to try new things and get fucking dirty, because otherwise I'll never grow. I will stop growing, and if I stop doing that, we're in big fucking trouble.
Pretty much the same. Like, I've been doing voice acting for 10 years, and I'm doing all right. You know, I was one of my events agent. And even they told me, you know, Val, I was like, oh, you know, I've been doing it for 10 years. Feels a bit like, you know, I haven't done that amazingly. And they're like, whoa, 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 Val, you've done really well. Do you know how hard it is to voice act in England and, like, make an impact? They were like, no, it's an uphill battle and stuff. It's tough here, honestly. Because I don't have, like, say, the access. I've talked about this issue before, especially with stuff like Crunchyroll. I don't have the access to all the... you know, anime industry or anything like that. I'm not in Texas.
In a very difficult, highly competitive career,
it's an oversaturated industry at this point. It's an oversaturated industry.
It is so unfair for non-domestic talent, domestic being the U.S., because that's where it's getting monopolized.
Pretty much, yeah. It's pretty crazy. I mean, Plus, I think I've talked about it before. I think there's a bit of an issue lately where it's like a lot of voice acting. You know, I'm never going to discourage anyone from pursuing it because, you know what, it's given me confidence. It's given me a career path, money, friends, relationships. I wouldn't be friends with Ivan if I didn't start voice acting. And I wouldn't be friends with lots of other people. But it's oversaturated. Feel free to jump on in. It's competitive as hell. Unless you can make a real big splash or find that role that people are probably going to define you by to some degree, because you know what? There have been some real popular people in voice acting, super successful people who are truly only defined and known by that one role. I respect the guy, but Sean Schemmel, for example, he's just Goku to a lot of people. To me, he's a Midamaru and fucking Ryo.
He's
from,
Lego Monkey King, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. He's that. But
no,
like,
to me, he's that goober in Berserk. The background Berserk.
Oh, God. Yeah, three cheers for Captain Guts, right?
Yeah, genuinely, I think that to me, that's his most iconic role. I'm sorry, Sean.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, 10 years on, it's like, you know, I've also got to focus on other things. I was literally saying to Ivan before this, like, voice acting's still my bread and butter. I'm not going to stop voice acting. I'm never going to stop voice acting. But it's just time to, like, look at other things and, like, try different avenues. I want to
It's just evolving our passions. Like, using the base of what we've established now and now evolve into new things.
I want to do videos and stuff, to be honest.
Because you got to keep it fresh. But, yeah, but you getting to videos, I'm so excited.
Yeah. I want to do that kind of thing. And, you know, it's tough. And probably going to be looking for a goddamn editor to help me along, honestly.
Righto.
I can write, I can record the editing process, though. Like, sometimes I'll admit, like, I need to, like, I'm so obsessive with it. I'm like, it needs to be perfect. But, that's me. But yeah, don't worry about us at Joyride and everything. Like, we're doing fine. It's just, things have got to change. Things have got to evolve. Plus, the internet in general is changing.
Yeah. I think that's a whole other conversation. I think we have hit our hour. I think it's time for us to wrap up. We'll see you guys maybe next week. What's next week? That's April Fool's Week. There's nothing. Is there anything going on for us? I mean, is there going to be anything out besides
Easter Sunday this weekend for me? So, like, you know,
so this comes out on April Fool's. Well, happy April Fool's, guys. The joke is we just did a regular episode. our long extended April Fool's joke this year was March Madness with the My Hero thing, which I have no time to discuss. Just go to the community tab. If you listen to this podcast today, I think the finals are finally up, so go vote on that. I'm going to take a guess right now that it's going to be All Might and Deku. Big fucking shocker.
Wait, what? Oh, what? Like the, was hinted, wasn't it?
No, we did a new, we're doing a joke on the channel in the community tab, just driving engagement where we have people voting on a hypothetical basketball tournament.
Oh, okay. By the way, did
Gentle
you see
got
the new
pretty far, but I'm looking right now. Gentle's gonna lose to Mirko because, yeah.
Oh no! Did you see the new volume of My Hero? It's
So let's leave on that. The fact that there's a theory that volume 40 is gonna be the second to last volume, which it won't, because it's gonna take a lot of volumes. Like, All For One's fight's gonna be multiple volumes. But the fact that they said it's because the title of that volume is called The End of an Era and Dash. And people think that the next volume will finish that sentence, but it will be the end of the sentence and end of the series. That's a cool theory. I hope it's true, but it's not gonna be, because that volume right there just covers, like, All Might's fight. Like, I think people don't understand, like, how far behind volume sales, like, volume prints are to the series. But it's a cool theory, and it's a sick-ass cover. It's the one with All Might in his Dark Knight Returns suit, you know?
I won't lie. I love the My Hero Academia volume covers.
Oh, they've all been mad. They've all been bangers, haven't they?
They have, yeah. Like, there are a couple. Like, maybe like that one, maybe volume 3 or something, where it's like Deku just tripping over and like Shigaraki in the back and stuff. Some of the early ones a little bit like, but I think as the series has gone on, like his covers have been so gripping, and it's kind of crazy to me that like 20 volumes ago. Less than 20 volumes ago, it was like the part-time shit. You know, like 15 volumes or something. I don't know. It's crazy when like you count the volumes, how small it really feels when you like have it all together in that bundle. and that this work has like spanned 10 years of drawings and writing and all that stuff.
And 10 years when this man's like, oh yeah, I can wrap this in 6. It's not gonna be that long. Poor guy. But yeah, we need to get running. Everyone, thank you for listening this week. We'll catch you later.
Mind the gap as you exit our podcast safely. Rebuild of Joycast is hosted by Ivan Leroy and Valentine Stokes. Leroy's written and directed works can be found on the Joyride Entertainment YouTube channel. Val's dulcet tones can be heard in many of your favorite anime and web series, such as Ruby, Lackadaisy, Gunbuster, Death Battle, and more. Audio engineering by Stina Carey. Music provided by Lo-Fi Geek. Intro and outro narration by Stina Carey. Outro music composed by Michael Payovich. Logo and visuals designed by Ivan Leroy. Keep the conversation going by visiting Joyride's public Discord server, where you can discuss this week's topics and more. Patreon donors also get access to our weekly anime watch club with cast and crew. Links provided in the description. Rebuild of Joycast is produced by Joyride Entertainment and Rock Voice Productions, LLC, and made possible thanks to Patreon donations from generous listeners like you. Thank you for keeping Joyride's engine burning.